Good evening and welcome to all. My name is Anzara and I am the host of this program, 1 Hour with Anzara. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff, or management, but represent only the views of the host, guests, and callers. Also, the views expressed are not intended to diagnose, treat, or give psychiatric advice or replace appropriate professional intervention. My goal is to express what I would do if I was in your situation. After much research and many years of experience and personal application, I consult with clients and teach a variety of methods and spiritual modalities to accomplish the living and uplifting of life. There is rarely a time, ladies and gentlemen, that I recommend a course of action that I myself have not used successfully to accomplish my own goals and dreams. Well, I'll tell you this, I'm very, very, very super excited tonight because, number one, on the previous program, Dr. Rebecca Carley, my congratulations to her and to all the alternative physicians and healers who turn around and really heal the world. This has really, really uplifted both my guest and I. In fact, it was so funny. My guest tonight, Rick Peters, he said earlier, gee, why are they getting rid of the Quack Watch? I wanted to be on Quack Watch. That's an honor to be on Quack Watch. Now it's going to be gone. It's the who's who of alternative medicine and metaphysics. What a shame. Well, anyway, this makes me very, very happy that people are being vindicated now and the truth is coming out. So I, ladies and gentlemen, am in an excellent mood. And what makes it a perfect night, my first guest since I started this program tonight is Mr. Rick Peters. And he is my soulmate and my life mate, and he's a very, very, very special man. He's a man of varied careers. He basically is a metaphysical researcher, first and foremost, but he is also an advanced clinical hypnotherapist that basically has specialized in past life regression, and that's been his main focus for several years. Also, he's worked with a lot with the spiritual human potential training, just like I have. And he works also with spirit attachment and spirit releasement and soul retrieval. Very, very interesting things that we won't get to go into tonight, but I'm really hoping I can get him back in very near future. He does spiritual home cleansings, blessings. We work together on a lot of this. He's into hypnosis, energy healing. And recently, he's been researching and integrating into all the modalities about parallel lives and how they present either positive or negative effects in our mundane life that we experience here on third dimensional reality. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is Mr. Rick Peters.
Well, thank you very much, Andrea. That was really making me blush here.
Well, I doubt that.
Okay.
But tell the listeners, Rick, how you got involved in the field of metaphysics and hypnosis, or as you have referred to, calling it dehypnosis. Can you tell us about that?
Well, would you like to know about the dehypnosis first?
Yeah.
Well, everybody on this planet is kind of stuck into hypnosis. A lot of people may be afraid of hypnosis. Just watch TV all the time. The person who has an overeating problem, I'm depressed. I have to eat bad food. I'm going to celebrate. Now that whatever the problem is, the condition, they go into it. A lot of people are walking around as a zombie, and we can thank modern-day TV for that. We're throwing the ELF waves and everything else at us, which also, affect the emotions.
Well, that's very interesting because I've read something recently. I read something recently that when you read a book or when you watch TV, you kind of go into a different state. I believe there's alpha states, beta states, different things like that. You go into a different state of mind. Is this how the TV and the books and everything hypnotizes?
Well, I wouldn't say so much of books. I would say more of TV puts people into hypnosis. Let's go back to the beginning. There's two times a day when everybody is in hypnosis. First of all, like hypnosis, when you first wake up in the morning, just before you're waking and just before you go to sleep, that's open. Then there are most people around, on the average, every 90 minutes or so, they naturally will lull into it, just like a sort of a dreamlike state, like you feel like you're zoned out, and that's basically...
Even the music will listen to.
Oh, music can put you right into hypnosis, and it can... help you or hurt you, depending on which, you know, what you're listening to.
Right.
You know,
like
garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
Positive in, positive out.
Well, let me ask you this. How did you get started with this career that you've really done for so long? Since, what, 89?
Well, actually, it started a lot longer than
well,
that.
Well, yeah, that's
I
when you were
first,
certified.
I was certified back then in 1989 to
right.
make it official. Well, if you want, you know, to make a long story short, let's go back to when I was a child. I grew up in a two-family house with my parents, my younger brother, and my grandparents. And they were very spiritually and holistically open-minded, especially for the days. And that was back, we're talking about in the 1950s. And my grandmother, who was originally from the village of Sedna, if I'm saying it right, Sedna, which is nestled in the Carpathian Mountains of Hungary. My grandmother was the matriarch of the family, encouraged me greatly on my metaphysical life path, which started when I was a young boy of about 3 or 4 years old in the late 1950s with reoccurring dreams.
Of what kind of dreams?
Well, it started off as I was about 3, 4 years old, and I had... Okay, I was about 3 or 4 years old, and I used to wake up in the morning and to ask my mother, "Mom, who's that man that comes?" And we go out to places that every night. And she looked at us 3, 4 years old, tell me about it, and I started telling her about it. And basically what it was, I was walking through a tunnel, holding a man's hand, and he was dressed in robes, with hooded robes. And we communicated, as we call it nowadays, psychically, but back then I would just say, we're talking with our minds. And everything wound up the same in the end, and that was, "I don't understand what this is about." And he would tell me that, basically, it brings chills up and down my spine here.
I can imagine.
He would tell me, "When the time is right, you will understand it all." And then I realized as I got older, that put me on my dharma, my true purpose on this planet to help the planet in the small part of it. And that was my spirit guide. And then it went on a little further about it. I was about roughly 5 years old, and I was a very inquisitive child. I was playing, I remember, in the living room, and my mother was speaking to her sister. And goes back, we're talking, this is still the 1950s. And as far as I remember asking my mother about it, she said at that time that she was probably reading the newest book about Bridey Murphy, which was one of the first books in America, as far as I know, about past lives. And I heard this word, I couldn't even say it. Mom, what's this, reincarnation? I couldn't even say it at the time, and she explained, gave me what you would give to a five-year-old explanation. Well, that's a belief that in other countries and other religions that some people feel when you die and you go to heaven, you come back, you're born again into another life. You mean like I remember being a little kid over here, and I'm giving all these explanations, and being older, and I was this, that, that, and that was it. And they looked, I guess I was a little different then, you know. I started experiencing, and I feel now with it as I did for many years. In the time I was an older teenager, even that was because these are the things I started understanding.
I see. Do you really honestly feel that your family had a good influence?
Oh, yes. I come from my inner core family. So I grew up in a two-family home with my parents and my brother and my grandparents, which my grandfather died about 7 years old. He was a great influence. He was a mentor. He was my mentor, and I loved him. We can go on other times about shows about different experiences I've had with him of very spiritually, like about his death, and that was the first communication I ever had with anyone who's passed on to the other side.
Well, I can imagine you had all these experiences, and I'll tell you why. Your grandmother coming from the Carpathian Mountains in Hungary, there is some incredible background there. I wouldn't doubt it.
You would have loved her, as my mother's told you many times. Well, yeah, but let's go back track a little bit about, we'll go from A to Z, let's go up a little further in from 5, I'd like to go on with that, we'll finish that week, and that's a whole other subject. We can touch base on that tonight, though. Well, after about the reincarnation incident, well, first of all, I'd like to mention I was never the kind of person that would go out and, when I say researcher, I'm saying is that it's not that whatever's buzzing around in the world in the time of going out and reading, and then I say, oh, gee, that sounds very interesting. I'm going to go read all about it and find out. It's things I experience the things first, and then I read about it. There's where, like the reincarnation, I mean, what children back then knew. I mean, I've had many clients of mine where they talk about their children nowadays coming up with this, you know. Knowing there's a back then no one realized about it. You know, it was right up there with witch doctoring, excuse the expression. But going back to the reincarnation, then I went up to about 12 years old. And that was about, the reason I mentioned that was the first of many different UFO, ESP, and extraterrestrial experiences.
Ah. Why don't you tell about, you know, briefly tell about some of your UFO experiences.
Well, I've had many in there. Some were very profound, but I'll give the first one.
Yeah.
And what I like about the first one is that there was proof behind it, much proof.
Verifiable proof.
Well, number one, I was never one of these people to run out looking for any type of exposure. I guess my guide, hate to say it that way, maybe taught me don't do these things on an unconscious level. I never would call in the Air Force and this and that. I was never looking for anything. I was actually felt that I had that something would happen to me even if I did give that type of information out. Because, basically what it was, I'm not going to go into the whole story. I was sleeping in bed. It was the summertime. 12 years old. I had a newspaper out. This was in the summertime, and the window was wide open with a fan going. This is days before major air conditioning all over, and I had a dream that I had a dream. I woke up and I went running downstairs to my parents because they slept on the main part of the house, and I was up into on the other floor, the second floor with it, or the third floor actually in this case, of the two-family house. And running down, there's a U. I saw this orange light come down. There's an orange light. There's a UFO up there. I saw the whole thing, experienced it.
Were you awake or dreaming?
I was awake. Went down, they went out, looked, they laughed. They were open-minded, but they laughed about it and everything else. This was before any of it was all out there, heavy duty with it. So, okay, let it pass. And all of a sudden, I remember going out Saturday morning, paper route. And after I was done with it, I always kept a copy for myself and looking through the papers. We're talking, this is a small paper. And all of a sudden, there was a UFO sighting. One of them was on my street. The other one was over one of the bridges, and the other one somewhere in the neighborhood. I came in, my uncle was over there, he worked in the area, he stopped by, and I was stopped it at my grandmother's, where everyone was there, conjugated around it, but she was the one in charge, ran it. I just slapped it down, I was like, here, look at this. You think I'm making this up or something, or the dream? For me, that document, 12 years old.
I would say so. And then, what happened then?
Well, about the UFO experience, I mean, we can make a whole... I mean, if you can only see my fingers here, we could show about 3 inches. We have this much time, and with my arms spread out, I can run a whole series on that.
He's telling you all the truth on that, believe me. But it's fascinating material. So, carry on with what you were saying.
Okay, going back to my roots of my research and hypnosis, okay. Is that what you'd like to hear on?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was an avid reader, and at that point, let's say we're talking now, let's backtrack, 12 years old and the experiences, their first experience. Then I was an avid reader. Age of metaphysics, and that was my root. That basically was the roots of my research. Always researching, as I mentioned earlier about reading that, and I've always integrated my research into different styles of hypnosis that I carry. Now, I was about 12 years old. I was very interested because of all of my reading that I've done. And I was interested a lot also with ESP. Astral projection, all the esoterical sciences or arts, depending what avenue you're walking down. And I was really interested in everything with mind. And it really started today with something very, back then with something very simple of Psychology Today magazine. I think it was, for me, it was new anyway back then. We're talking 12 years old.
And it was cutting edge back then.
Yeah, it was cutting edge. And I was buying this, and my parents were very happy about it. I mean, how many boys back then would really want to read? And I'm going out instead of buying. I mean, I enjoyed my Mad magazine and a few things like that, you know. And
I'm sure
back when I was younger, a few comic books. But here I am reading Psychology Today. Now, Melissa, are you really reading that?
Yeah,
I enjoy it. I'm rambling off about it. I just said I love mind and all that, and it's about 13 years old. Roughly there, for my either birthday or Christmas, as an extra, you know, bonus in there, I got my own subscription. Yeah, how you feel? This is the first subscription that you ever had.
Yeah.
And it's not like your father's Popular Mechanics and everything, you know, which that also influenced me because I work just as well with my hands as I do with my mind. Give credit where credit is due, you know. And but here's the problem. That was a double-edged sword. I was reading Psychology Today, feeling as the cutting edge of the time. I haven't read it in years. I was so turned off with a lot of things. But I didn't realize at that time that mainstream psychology didn't apply the cutting edge modalities that they considered that mainstream psychology considered alternative. I didn't know about But here I am armed with, as time goes on and going off into, you know, continuing through high school. And I graduated early. I was in advance. I advanced quickly. I had my own clever ways of doing that and everything. And of course, went that way, entered into college as, of course, you can figure, a psych student, because there was mind and always talking. I drove my mother nuts, but she loved it, talking about all these things. I said they were open-minded towards it. And I had aspirations of getting a master's degree and becoming a psychoanalyst, you know, and doing psychoanalysis and using hypnosis as my primary modality. Because I even then read whatever was out there, consumed it. There were people involved interested in hypnosis in my family, like a cousin of mine who was older than me that was deceased recently. He was very big into it. I forgot to even mention that. I was 12 years old, first time I ever got hypnotized. And, well, maybe not 12. I went from grammar school into high school, and it was like, I just soared from where I was. But it's also a different school and everything else. But, so, time went on, and it was, and I was going through school and doing my studies and all that, and the psych professors, we had some very, really interesting psychology professors.
Oh, I'll bet back then.
Well, double-edged sword. A lot of the real interesting ones seemed to vanish.
Vanish? What happened to them? Vanish? Were they UFO'd out of here? Or?
Well, I don't think anything like that with UFO and everything, but what it is we had certain things, we had certain field trips. These were young guys, recent professors, and they were not in the mainstream. They were the cutting edge, a little older than my generation. They were on the cutting edge with everything. And what we did was, we had actually one field. We're talking about now, this is the early 1970s, growing up in New York.
Great time.
Okay. They were talking, they were at the time looking at emptying out all the mental hospitals. Things were tight with it, all that. I guess recession or whatever, if you want to get to it at that time, but they're having that. And that they had found, there was the research on the alternatives that, remember, like, children were talking, remember, parents were talking about childhood, you probably remember this, with that where the childhood friends, the imaginary friends really weren't so imaginary and all that. And then, well, I remember going on some very nice field trips in college with some professors where we went into some mental health facilities where people were, well, didn't have such a healthy mental health. And they were doing, like, actually some early days of spirit releasement therapy. I've seen people that were considered as,
That reminds me of a story. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that reminds me of a story you told about going in there and seeing people climb walls. Do you remember that?
Well, I was able to, I've seen that with it, but basically what I was seeing was, actually seeing people with spirit attachment, their eyes closed. Well, actually go,
people change when...
No, where their eye color is changing, when different personalities were coming in.
Well, remember that you had told about seeing a person climbing, like, from the radiator up the wall on the little things in the windows that they had. You saw them.
Okay, now you remember. When I was in, that was we're talking about with multiple personality disorder. And as far as I know, right now to this day, that is only about 10%. Of psychologists actually believe there's such a thing. Oh. A multiple personality. But the so-called, quote-unquote, alternative practitioners felt that this was a spirit attachment. And I watched this with multiple personality disorder. Well, I was sitting there watching them using, the professor going in and using, or sometimes him watching as a field trip, great field trips. I'd love to be there today. Watching that going on, I could see them literally climbing all over them, being under hypnosis and climbing and climbing the walls and trying to get, they were releasing the spirits, and they were giving them a clean bill of health, and they were leaving, and there was no problems. There was been write-ups and different things, and they followed through with it. But the thing is, those are the ones that disappeared because they're not keeping, they're thinking outside the box. I mean, you know, more billing hours, not knocking any professions. I mean, there are times that I've worked with clients of mine, and they really have some major problems. I refer them over that they need a different.
Well, it's my personal opinion, Rick, that when you started to mention something there, I always believe if they make people well, then what's going to happen to the people's living? There's not enough billable hours,
well,
so therefore we don't have much of a career
left. We know, and as we're also good friends with Dr. Rebecca Carley, we know how that goes.
Yeah, we really do know how
that
goes.
We only, as I said, we only have this much time, and
yeah,
we can talk that much about it.
I guess that's why these guys disappeared.
Yeah, so they disappeared, it's sad, but they were basically, I don't think any UFO abductions came up and took them, or any of the dark shirts took them.
So when did you change your mind?
What I really think, as I said, is what changed my mind, what I did was, now we're going on, and I'm looking at into a situation of, I'm looking now at the curriculum, you know, different semesters are changing, and I'm looking into the curriculum after you have to take all the basics, and I'm looking into it, and I said, I'm not really able. I'm talking to some of my professors. I said, what's going, you know, and we're talking. Now, first of all, I would like to mention, in the world of psychology, I was always a Jungian.
Oh.
Not a Freudian. And a lot of them were Freudians. They're mixed. And I'm talking to some of my, instructors and professors. And I'm talking to them, you know, getting a little older there already. And I'm saying, when are we going to be doing some, when are we going to be offered some hypnosis classes? There seemed to be at one time in the past we were offered. What's going on? Hypnosis. This is psychology. That's a totally different field. I said, okay, but I mean, you're a Freudian. And I said, Sigmund Freud himself said, I can see in the future that psychoanalysis would be replaced by hypnotherapy. And I said, the only problem, that's for real, the only problem was Sigmund Freud admitted, he knew this, he was not a great hypnotherapist. He didn't have a handle on it. But hey, we're talking now, this is the 1970s. That's alternative. And everything, that's a whole different field that has nothing, to do with psychology. And that's what I really can't understand about nowadays with it, where, now I don't get myself involved, I work side by side with people, why they'll go and say that there's these turf wars I hear about with other people. I said, some other people using psychological techniques and everything. I said, hypnotherapy and psychotherapy and psychology are two different things. Like I put myself, I work more into the human potential modalities. To be the most that you can be of helping yourself is basically being an educator, because all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. A hypnotist or a hypnotherapist is just being a guide to help direct them with it, and being a mentor, a coach, whatever you want to like. Basically, at that point, after having that conversation, and that wasn't just one conversation, that was with many, and the times were changing and all that, and the world was different, I said, so I changed my mind about getting my future master's degree and about being a mainstream psychologist, and I threw it away.
Well, then
I really don't like saying throw it away, because I did, but it really put me on there, because if I stuck with that, I might have been putting myself into the box. So I kept myself open, and I went into different avenues of different types of work, and I did a lot of traveled through Europe and the United States and lived in many places. I had a very colorful life, but I always kept with, as I would call back then, experience.
experimental hypnosis.
Hmm.
Okay. So that was back then in the, I did experiment because I did a lot of reading on my own. And I was actually, as I say, experimental because at the time I didn't think I really knew what I was doing, but people who knew it, they realized I really did a lot of good before I was even officially certified. I was doing past life regressions and finding out reasons, and because all hypnosis, self-hypnosis, there's really, a lot of people put it as therapy and everything. It's really not therapy, because if you put a person in touch with, you work with on the metaphysical way, that the person will be healed. The healing themselves, the tapping into the power of the unconscious mind, which the only boundaries is their own mind.
I can imagine. I would say that then this big line between hypnosis and self-hypnosis, there really isn't any line there. How do you correlate that with all the people that you studied with? How do you integrate all of that?
They all felt the same way, that you're basically an educator. You're basically educating, you're training people to help themselves. Now, say for instance, if I even use positive affirmations, and which you can use for self-esteem, you can do it for anything else, or anything I do, if I don't have someone over there doing it, you can get yourself sidetracked into doing other things, or you can zone out, trip out, whatever you want to call it. And I think so you're basically being a guide, having someone there to direct you. Well, that's a whole other story in itself. With my spirit guide came to me, I need to be doing things, I need to go on the right track. I was getting into, I said, in my 30s already, and I said, I've got to get myself back on track. As I said, reading all the hypnosis. Not playing, I would say playing. Some people would call it playing, you know, the mundane football playing and all that. I was helping people and getting some great results with it. So I said, after taking a nap one time, I said, you know what, now's the time. I think the world is ready for, I'm going to become a hypnotherapist. And I told my first wife about it. I said, how do you become, I don't know. But I went and I looked into it. We're talking about into the early to mid-80s. I said, reading all that time. And then I went and I studied through the Hypnodyne Foundation with Stephen LaBelle, which was the top-of-the-line trainer at the time. And he's still out there. He's beyond just being a trainer with that. And I studied under him, and I became a certified hypnotherapist in 1989, and which I learned from him and everyone else through the foundation, that when you become certified, your education does not end. It just begins. And that was the beginning.
Now, that's about the same in most careers.
Right.
Once you finish your training, that's only the beginning.
So it's 1989, I had that, and I was doing some stuff on and off with it, and then I really felt good, and there was a lot of instances, as we could say, even before then, about I've had some major healings with people.
Uh-huh.
Before then, even before I certified, then after. And then let's go on the educational end, and then I study with Dr. George Bean, and I think it's about 1992 that's where I took my advanced clinical hypnotherapy with him and everything. I did all that. And then I've taken many, many other courses and, as I said, devour books and going to seminars and everything else. But the ones that stand out, as I said, my main thing was basically was the past life therapy. And I studied under David Quigley, which was alchemy hypnosis he was into. He felt he was from past life. He channeled his information in from other lives and everything else. He's a very interesting guy. We had some very strange experience when we first met, but that's a whole nother time with it. And then I've taken a class with V. Dick Sutphin, and that was, to me, the ultimate.
Oh, I'll bet.
So that's basically that, besides all that of what I do. And so, does that answer that question?
Well, pretty much. What's your research focus now that you're doing?
I have many focuses, and it's very hard to keep focus. Well, as you know, and you can tell the audience, we just recently moved to the beautiful foothills of North Carolina.
Yes.
From
Something I manifested, ladies and gentlemen.
And I manifested it also. I've been talking about that. Thinking about the 2025.
Yeah, right. He manifested it through me.
Tired of seeing it, just on I-95, flying through I-95, 95 miles an hour between up north and Florida. It's coming from Florida. And so, basically, you know, we're trying to get our new home together and everything. And planning on, as I always have a thing about, man plans, God laughs.
He's been doing a lot of laughing lately.
That was an expression of Buddha. Well, what I'm doing now is basically, you know, I've been talking with different people about and with myself and doing some research. When I say research, it's not reading. There's not much out there with it. It's my experience.
No Encyclopedia Britannica?
No. I've read the books years ago, even Sutton been turning me on, here, read this book, I feel it's your dharma that you've got to be doing this, you know. He took it from the past lives, I've taken it to, you know, I'm taking it to parallel lives of how they're affecting all the people.
Parallel
Everyone
lives.
Everyone, believe in it or not.
Parallel lives.
It's
can
not
you,
the Twilight Zone.
Can you explain to the audience, I'm sure a lot of them know, but I'm sure there's somebody out there in this big old world that doesn't know exactly what parallel lives are. Can you do a little explaining of that, please?
Well,
it's a fascinating research. It really is.
To put it lightly, in the short period of time that we have, it's basically is that you have to look into the reincarnation of the many different theories, schoolhouse, earth, and all these different things with it, and all of them can be right, or maybe none of them right, or whatever. But it seems to be what I'm looking in the direction of. Well, first, I'd like to ask something. If anyone ever says to you, I know exactly how past lives work and everything else, reincarnation, that is just their concept. No one knows exactly. As I said, depending on what it is, that's still research. It'll be to the day this planet, well, God knows what's going to happen to the planet goes. It's a part of the
whole. Ascend, we hope.
Well, right. Well, we're all hoping for that. We're all working on that. We don't hope.
We work for it.
Yeah. Well, and I feel the planet is ascending already anyway, but that's a whole other thing we'll go into. Well, you have the oversoul theory, where you take the oversoul, when a person, let's say, passes on from a past life, they'll have, let's just say, you can either close your eyes and think about it, let's just say this little ball is the oversoul, and there's so much karma put in there, and then they'll have different beings have to be born in different parts of the planet, and even going into different dimensions now.
Mm-hmm.
The last I heard, actually, scientists mathematically, this is going back to 2002 information, where scientists have proven that there are 14 different dimensions. They don't know how they work, but they've got it mathematically. That's beyond. I'm not a mathematician. I don't even try to be. Well, to take on different parts of the karma. You have that, don't you?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So,
in other words, like, let's say I could be a person. I'm me. I'm Anzara here. That I could be William in another country and Mary Sue on a different planet, maybe, or
right,
in a
different dimension
here.
Or you could be a Oriental woman working in the fields in China. But somebody to take on different parts of the karma. Now,
we're not all born, though, at the same time, are we?
Oh, no.
Oversoul.
I've had experiences of, we can make a whole other show of this with it, you know, sometime with it. We're going back, I'd say it was in my mid-30s. I don't think we have enough time for the show with it, where I was affected by, I was getting very depressed, and my life was going great, my business was going great, my everything, and finding out, and I was experiencing the death, who was dying of cancer, one of this over in San Diego, California. I didn't have his name, but I experienced it, went out for 3 days. And I've had other experiences with it. Also about just somebody getting a tooth pulled, going through that. And I that was the first thing, and also a young man. I was 30 years old. There was someone who was dying of cancer in his early 60s because of the work that he did. He worked in the shipyards.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an older guy just having a problem with, he had some teeth problems, and there was also a young kid of roughly 19 years old. But that could go, we're going into the twilight zone now. Let's not go there. But I'm discovering and talking with different people in my circle that I deal with, that other people having these experiences. And that's basically it, where we have that, and about now how to make connections with these people. How to, through hypnosis. Now, first of all, see, the unconscious mind does not know with hypnosis how I feel it works so good, and most hypnotherapists and hypnotists feel, because the unconscious mind does not know the difference between fantasy and reality. Okay. As I said, they don't know the difference between, I'm sorry if I need to speak up, they don't know the difference between fantasy and reality. So you put that in, and that makes it work that you could do the healing process. But now, we go to the point where, now just not just me, I feel that when you put a person into a regression or you put them into a visualization, we all know about REM, rapid eye movement. There is no rapid eye movement. In some schools of thought feel they're actually being astral projected out in maybe, as some people call it, the constant now. That's why it works good in changing and making the canal. Now I'm trying to work on, I don't know which way to go exactly, but to get the connection of, to save up, to find out what the problem is, help that person on that other parallel life, working together because it is a brother or a sister, depending on what life it is. And then you take that information back with you and you heal both people at the same time. And then we're getting involved in some soul retrieval because of, we're talking about fragmented souls.
Would you be willing, I think we have enough time, would you be willing to give maybe one story about some interesting soul retrieval that you have done?
Okay, let's see. Oh, sounds great. I mean, how much time do I have to do this?
You've got a few minutes yet.
Okay. Okay.
I can think of a lot of stories that you told me, but there's one. I know you've met some friends over there that you knew when you were young, and they died, some of them through mysterious circumstances, others through drug overdose. A lot of that went on in the 60s and 70s. And you've come back and told me personally stories of how that you have brought people to a higher dimension that were stuck there.
Oh, you're talking about lower worlds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God, we write volumes of books on that one there. And is that, you know, that's the crux of my research with that.
That's why I brought this up, because it is the crux. Ladies and gentlemen, I hear this on a daily basis.
Which one would you like to hear about? Tell me the one. Tell me anyone. You've heard them all.
I've heard them all.
Or fractions of them.
Well, without using names, unless you want to, about...
I would never use names. Like
about a woman. About a woman that had passed away, and you found her on in another dimension, and she was swollen up with cancer, and how you brought her to another dimension, and she was lying in filth and dirt, and yet this woman had passed on from this dimension, and you found a part of her in another dimension.
Yes. Well,
that's one of my favorite stories, that particular rescue.
You know, to a lot of people out there, they're going to think that's the Twilight Zone. Well,
I don't think the people that listen to this radio station would think it's the Twilight Zone.
Okay, well, basically, it was. First of all, I'd like to say what I do is, I really, as you can tell, everyone, it seems like I really don't sleep. I go out and do soul rescue.
I know, he comes back exhausted.
Yeah, physically exhausted. I've also done soul rescue, a lot of people sitting there into my one of my recliners, and we go in there, find out what's your issue, what's your problem, let's go back to the source, no matter where it may be. And they understand about it's either in this lifetime as a child, a past life, or a parallel life, and wherever it could be. Well, I feel, I mean, that would be a very interesting show, I think, for the future.
Oh, I
talking
think
about
so
the
too.
Parallel lives.
But
and
tell the
I
story
have
of this
about,
lady.
About parallel lives.
Tell
about,
the story.
Okay. About the different dimensions. Well, I went down there, and it was actually a client of mine who was very blocked up and very upset about her sister who died at a young age of ovarian cancer. And it also brings a very close thing to me because also my first wife passed on of that. And there's no reason why. That's a whole other thing we got to get into with it. But I found out this person was there. And next thing I know, I find myself in there in this hovel. I'm talking ratten. I mean, I'm talking freak show. I'm talking, never mind, freak show. I'm talking people taking mice running around on the ground and sticking it in, sticking their feet into outlets and watching them blow up and laughing and everything. And then I wind up.
Sounds like hell.
Well, it's a hell dimension.
Okay, sorry to interrupt, but carry on. Tell the.
Now I'm over there talking to this person, explaining what's going on. And then I find out after that this was the person that I described.
How did you find her? Where was she?
Well, we can go into that also with it because of how the dimensional shift that's happening and all the vibrations. But basically, I found her. I'm going to make a long story short. Found her. Talked to her. We need to find out. You have this person passed on. This person had this disease. Doctors, they did not even know what doctors, what are doctors, what are this? They had nothing down there. And I've been to this place many times. And it's written in different books about with that. I mean, about these hell dimensions, which I've discovered. I don't call them that. It's just the lower world. And I went and I took them, and I took them about it, went into the other room, explained what's going on. You need to work your way up. And I basically had to travel about, unless we do the full thing on it, like a movie or a show, it could be boring, talking to this other person there, which was a friend, and they knew that on the other side. That was there on that other side, and they took him through, we went through a whole thing of different people about seeing and going through through canals with garbage floating through it, and this person I remember is Captain Tom. And I actually, the weird thing is I ran into people that I've known down there. And these people are alive and well, but being directed by the low world, having problems in their lives, and I went through.
In other words, they have a parallel life on
right.
A lower world.
Yeah, and I took them through, and we went through this place of giants over there. It's a freak show, as I said, and then I wind up bringing them to a portal, and I brought them up higher. I brought them higher up. Into a different dimension, I wind up back home. Now, that person that passed on, I wouldn't know what happened with them except in certain communications that some people could have. But these other people that I came down knew their lives turned around. I retrieved all their souls.
Wow. What a dharma.
I also went through of why the person did. Now, I'm looking at why this person come down with his own earthly reason why they should, except naturally after meeting Dr. Rebecca Carley, maybe too many vaccines or something. Well, you know, that could add to it. But I wind up going somewhere with that same person again, not looking for it even by accident. And every time I find it by accident, I will contact the client who it's connected to. But I wind up in like a South American jungle with a modern-day shaman reaching up to the highest one of actually curing the person of that disease, the disease. So now I feel karmically we remove that karma for the next life incarnation when they come back.
I said,
you ever want to do a show like that for the future?
Uh-huh.
We could do a straight one out of that of different stories.
Well, I'm going to definitely keep that in mind. most assuredly, because there's a ton of fascinating information that you give. And by the way, listeners, if anybody has any questions or comments for Rick, you can email him at my current email address at 1 hour with Anzura, as O-N-E, hour with Anzura, A-N-Z-A-R-A, at gmail.com. And Rick will be, if you wish to include your phone number, whatever, Rick will be glad to get back with you.
If I may interject, please, if you want to leave your phone, I'll be glad to talk with you about it, but also give, since this goes around the world, your time zone and the best time to call. Give me a nice size window, if time permits.
Well, we were talking just the other day. In fact, we had just talked even this morning a little bit about dimensions and what's happening now on the planet with dimensions and having to do with electrical interference, vibrational interference, mechanical vibration or electrical vibration. Can you talk a little bit about that, the dimensions opening up?
Well, I've always had concepts, and usually I feel that I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm nothing special. I'm just another metaphysician.
I think you're very special.
Well, thank you. I said, usually the things I come up with, I shoot my mouth off about. It takes sometimes 10 years later, it comes to pass. But right now, everything seems to be speeding up, and things are coming in within
since weeks. Since the harmonic convergence.
Well, since the harmonic convergence, of course. I mean, soulmates are recognizing soulmates and everything else, and things are happening all over. But main things, we don't need to show about how Mother Earth, excuse the pun of going back, show, I guess I'm giving my age away a little bit back from the 60s, about how it's being polluted and adulterated and raped in plain English. And we've just run amok.
You mean...
everything in general on the Earth, the planet.
Well, what's causing this? The heart project?
I'm just talking pollution in general, but we also have, let's say, the Tahoe Sum. Last I heard, they're still looking for the Tahoe Sum, which I thought initially was just the sound of the Earth, you know, the ohm.
Well, for those who are in a different country, can you explain where Tahoe is?
Oh, Tahoe is a small town or in New Mexico. And there are different scientists. There are actually people with the Tahoe Sum that are actually winding up in mental health facilities because there's a vibration out there, a vibration and a sound that's driving them crazy. And it has to do a lot of my concepts about when the Earth makes its full shift.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking, as people have talked about, 2008 or 2012.
Depending on
what
you're
looking
at,
calendar. You know, we're looking at the Mayan or our calendar. Okay, so we're talking about that, and they've discovered that, and they're still looking there. There are scientists over there from the University of New Mexico at Tahoe, drilling into the Earth, and last I remember years back seeing some specials about it and reading about it. They're down hundreds of feet still looking for it. Then you hear other people. No one knows the answers, unless maybe I'd like to. If someone has the answers now, I'd like to hear about them. They're talking about maybe it's the Navy's experimentation with the ELF waves and everything they're doing with submarines and people are taking. Other people are being healed by it. I've been affected personally by it very strongly. I've had some, what got me was years back, I've had some profound healing. Not that anything was majorly wrong with me, but like a new life came to me when I got this feeling in the middle of the night at certain times. Well, the Taoist or now you also have the HARP project, which is supposedly just weather. And it's not my place to discuss. I don't really know what's going on. I take it as a hobby, reading about these things, interested, about it, seeing you know, documentaries on it and all that. I belong to different groups with it.
Well, what about satellites out there?
Well, let me go back. The satellites, yes. Well, so we have all these different sounds coming out there and affecting the Earth.
Sounds and vibrations, things
right.
We can't hear, but we can feel.
Some people are able to hear them. I can hear them most of the time. Even
I can hear them in the background. A lot of people, I don't know, I've heard some people talk about, you know, tinnitus and everything. That's really what tinnitus is. I don't know. I don't have that. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't try to be. So I've heard different things with that. But the Tahoe's hum and all these things are different vibrations. Now you take the satellites. We have, I'd say, for instance, with you, years back, I was telling you about a good way to describe psychic ability. And like we all, let's go back, we're all what we call transmitters and we're all receivers. Like you're sitting down doing a reading for someone. I would have, if you were doing that 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, I would describe to the person, they'd say, gee, how is that person able to do that? I said, well, you have a TV set or you have a radio. And they're, and what do you call it? And there's a signal being sent out. The person doing the reading is receiving the signal and the transmitter with that, sending what's all around them, what's on their mind. And then you get to a point, it's time how full circle goes. Younger people were not able to understand that because cable TV came out. Next thing you know, I said, well, everything was cableized. Well, a cable, I would say, back in the old days to some of the young kids, it was your son when he was younger, he used to ask me, hey, Rick, or Dad, depending on what frame of mind he was in, what video games did you play when you were a kid, you know? So, and I explained to him, well, times before cable TV, we had antennas and everything, and rabbit ears. So what we get to the point now is that we have that out there, then you wind up now. But even back then, I'm realizing even that was all satellite because there were satellites in space beaming the signal down from all over the world to their towers and then running through the cables. Now you see satellite TV all over. That is such a simplistic thing. When you have it, that is affecting the Earth. Now, recently I just read in the local paper today, not today, it was sometime this week, about with twirls are coming up with your totally natural, with tumors. And horses come with tumors, but except with horses, they said telling the people what they could do. Who knows what the
parasites
is.
Or something?
Parasites, worms, everything. So
what about the bees?
That's been going on for a long time. Yeah, that was a natural healing, I believe. The power. Who knows what's being adulterated to the honey now because of this? So what you do now is we're coming to the fact of. That's coming about, and that's if it's killing the little creatures of this planet, what is it doing to it? I mean, they're working cancer and all these other illnesses are running amok on this planet, and it's just going nowhere unless people go in the right direction.
Can there be any positive effects to this type of ELF energy or satellite energy?
Oh yes. Well, going back to that now, here's one scary thing. I think, no, maybe not all the listeners are familiar with this, but I know you can go on the computer if you know basically what you're doing a little bit, working with the Earth's grid. You can go out there, like you'd be able to go, get on the computer, tap into this. I forgot who it was who started with the whole thing, but you can go from a satellite, pinpoint an address, and see on your monitor what that person is. Literally, you can go to somebody in a foreign country and you know them, tell them, go on out there, and they can wave to you and you can see them. And that is the average person can do if they have a little bit of their technologically advanced into the electronics. Computer, really, pretty computer savvy. You'd have to really talk to probably some, you know, 14, 15-year-old kids that would know how to do that.
Wow.
Now, I don't know who's behind that, but I don't like that research, personally. Because it just adds to more invasion of privacy. But all these wavelengths that are out there. Now, Mother Earth vibration is raising. The universe's vibration is raising. Trying to counteract what's going on to the planet and the people. Trying to save its planet. So, now the thing is that I'm looking at research. I'm finding that you can help it for healing in any way that you need. Body, mind, spirit, manifestation, like everyone's talking about nowadays, it's been going on for a while, the secret
It's a great thing. It's bringing it to mainstream America, which is great. So
people
open their mind to on the Oprah show and all these other shows. That's great. And Larry King Live, so they're talking about. But as they even say, it's been around for centuries from the beginning of time. But I studied under Norvell back in the 1960s. He's been dead. You know, you've talked about
Anthony Norvell, one of my heroes.
I think I turned you on to him.
You did. You did, and he quickly became one of my heroes.
Right, so he was there. And so if we could go under hypnosis or sleep learning, and I'm looking at programming it in, into the mind, as I said, a reprogramming that you take in the positive energies. It's only whatever you are, the boundaries is your imagination. How far are you willing to take it? And I've seen some profound results with things. And it's actually changing because of all that, the dimensions are opening up and the portals are coming more and more. And that's why, as time goes on, I thought I was done with it. I was tired of having, when I sleep at night, going on my, what I call travels. And it gets stronger and stronger. I'm involving more and more people that I know in my everyday life, and I'm finding them there.
Incredible.
And after I discover that, they're being helped.
Well, I want to go in a little bit, slightly different direction at the moment. I'd like you to tell the listeners how hypnosis can turn around very bleak medical diagnosis. I know personally some of your work. I've been involved with at least one case, possibly more if I remember back, but possibly the listeners might be interested in how hypnosis and alternative medicine work hand in hand, how one can empower another and each together work and make one incredible power source. That might be a good point.
Well, you answered your own question about how one can empower the other. They complement each other.
Well, of course.
Complementary medicine. But I think instead of explaining about that, as I said, I'm not here to teach a program on hypnosis, how to become a hypnotherapist.
No.
Well, the thing is that let's go back to, I was in my early 30s. I think this was pre-certification.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young man out there, which I knew, and living up in the mountains of upstate New York, and he was my firewood man, and I knew him. He was a really nice guy, young man, but he was about 22 years old, and he got himself involved in certain things that he really would have been better off not getting involved in. It brings tears to my eyes when hearing this and how happy I am for this. Now, he wound up in a major car wreck, and he was cut out with the jaws of life. And he had, now, surprisingly, he wound up just in a coma. He had no broken bones or anything, but he was cut up from head to toe.
Wow.
And I felt really bad, and he was very upset because he just lost his mother, which he was very close to, and they went through a divorce and everything, the mother and father with it. And I saw the father there, and he knew me, and I went over. I said, listen, do you mind if I go in? And he was in intensive care, and the nurses were there. And I said, I went in there, told him what I'd like to do. Go for it. We're talking
about.
Was
he expected to live?
Well, what his expectation was, if he ever pulls out of the coma, he will be a vegetable. And chances are, and then, of course, they, you know, do the double talk. You've met people that talk out of both sides of the mouth at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They said, and if he does wind up, now, after he had helped a bit, they said, if he ever makes it into a rehab, it'll take 6 months before he's even able to go home for a home visit.
Mm.
Well, I went in there, talked to him. There's no hypnosis. He's in hypnosis. I said, well, like when you're sleeping, I talk to him the regular way. And I knew the guy pretty well. And one thing about him, he was a big, strong, young man of 22 years old. And you could see him out there on the road and everything. Jaga said he was he was into dealing in firewood. I mean, that's heavy-duty work. Young guy in the wrong direction. So what I did was I talked to him. Imagine yourself running. You're out there doing your running, your jog, everything. And the There was nurses right there. And he's running with his feet. I said, is that okay? Is that going to hurt him? I didn't know. I just, no, that's the greatest thing in the world. Atrophy, once said. And doctors wouldn't like it because they like to keep people sedated, everything else. So I went there that one time, went back again a couple of days later, did the same thing, and I just left him with some positive messages. And, of course, there was family flew out from all over the country, from California. He came from a large family. And he was there, and I'm talking to the brother, what's the prognosis and everything? Well, doesn't look too good. Next thing I know, a week passed. About a week or two after that, next thing I know, somebody's knocking on my bedroom window on a Saturday at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And I see him out there. I'm thinking, I'm imagining this. I mean, you know the prognosis. I said, what's going on? He goes, I don't know. And he's talking punch drunk and things like that. He goes, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm doing a run. And I came back and he was in a top rehab hospital.
And he got out.
And he was on a weekend visit. We're talking, like, say, roughly 2 weeks or within a month. And I kept thinking about you. And he says, why don't you go up there? The family wouldn't tell him anything. And he said, and he told me, go ahead. And he said, go up, see Rick Peters. And he'll tell you about it. So while I told him, listen, I'll put some coffee on. Why don't you finish your run and come back? And I get on the phone. I called out to the family, which was what I told them.
Running?
And they said, you were running. Running.
And
yes.
You had worked with his feet or something
in the
hospital.
The atrophy from doing the positive thing. Remember this. Yes, running, not walking.
Wow.
Now, I called the family, what's going on? They said, you tell him. We don't know what to tell him. He's home from rehab. But he was asking about you, and he said, you know, we're going to give credit where credit's due. So he came back, knocked on the door, and he's just telling me, basically, I need to go into some detail. I feel like a punch drunk and everything. My one eye is stuck open. I got to close it down. And he's telling me, I don't know why. And I explained, he goes, all I know is in a car accident. I explained what happened, and I did this and that. And everything I did, and I saw him over then by the community pool at the development. And after we talked about it, and the doctors told him, where we're talking about someone supposed to be a vegetable, the doctors said he's actually, at this point, we're talking monthly. That was winter, and then we're talking summer. And the doctors said, you're actually 95% cured of what you did. He was doing all this, and he goes, but actually, I got to tell you something, Rick. He goes, I'm actually 110% cured because I've learned not to do certain things when I'm driving, which I was against anyway, and he did better. And he went on to go back into his field. He followed, as a lot of people say, the straight and narrow, wound up having a whole family and everything else, and doing great. And he's
happy ending on that one.
That's one. You were with the other one down in Florida. You remember? Would you like to tell that story?
No, you tell, because I was very impressed. It was one of the first times I had seen you use the healing pool, which was very interesting.
Well, that's one thing I plan on doing about with one of my tapes. That's part of my Dharma.
But you know what's interesting? You know, in line with Dr. Rebecca Carly's shows and all the different shows out there and all the truth coming out about medicine, and I recall a situation that you worked with someone who had severe stage 4 ovarian cancer, and they were, with the chemotherapy, they only expected it. They only expected it to come down maybe 10% or 20%. Can you tell that story? Because you worked with hypnosis on this. You told me about this.
Well, okay. You didn't know if I wanted to talk about it or what. Yes, I'll talk about it. No problem with that. Was then, this is now. That was my first wife, which was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer, and she wound up given a death sentence of 3 days into a hospital. And what happened was she wound up, and I talked to the doctor, and he seemed open-minded, and he was open-minded about it. And I went and I did that.
You mean she wasn't going to live longer than 3 days?
That's one thing they're told. We went through a whole different thing, and we plan on, you know, doing a whole thing with that and everything to serve justice with justice is due. But that was told. Then she's given a bill of goods that, oh no, oh the way you are, you can come out with one doctor, 15. Oh, there's 70. Oh my God, what was it? 85% chance you're going to walk away a normal, healthy person. Yeah, when you're blown up with a 52 girth size, which is the waist size, for anyone not familiar with that and everything, and stage 4 ovarian cancer, rushed over there into the back of an ambulance. I mean, he was just, that's the whole other story with it, you know,
right.
The guardian angels and everything else, where this doctor, and I asked him, he's going to take, okay, after much self-hypnosis, meditation, guidance, and everything else, okay, what are we going to do? We have no choice. The person's crippled. My first wife was herself. I said, that was a learning. That was a big learning experience.
So you used hypnosis with her?
Yeah. She wouldn't take nutrients. She wasn't able to eat or anything else. And we talked it. And I did, between hypnosis and my hypno-healing of combination of, I didn't even, wasn't really trained in Reiki at the time, with therapeutic touch and doing all that, and I asked the doctor, okay, what are we hoping for on this? We accepted, both of us, we'll give it a try. He goes, well, I'd like to see a 20% reduction in the CA125 numbers, which is the cancer marker for it. And I said, okay, let's go.
They were
for
up
that.
There pretty high.
Very high. 0 to 35 is considered normal. I forget, it was 92 or 97%. 9,700. Only one other person I had met, which was 1,100, with that. And that person wound up very good also. But, I mean, this person here, what I did was I just did hypnosis with it and doing all that stuff. And it was the talk of the hospital between the nurses and everything else going. She had a 55% reduction of one round of hypnotherapy.
Wow.
Now,
expecting 20% and getting 55%?
Yeah, and it was like,
that's a doctor.
They double-checked this. As far as I know, he even said this is his record. He thinks it may be a world record for that. But, I mean, but time goes, you know, that's a whole other story. You know the final outcome, and that's why, you know, we're together.
Yeah.
And everything, so besides that. But going back to, if you remember, back down in Florida, we were down there after the storms of the young lady.
Oh, yes.
In the hospital there. Would you like to tell that story?
Well, we had gone to...
Oh, and that person, first of all, Debbie, as everyone realized, was living a normal, healthy life.
But it come down
after
with...
The doctor even said, you are a healthy person, you just happen to have cancer, living everything.
Right.
Until other people had different ideas, but besides that, why did you tell the story about that nice young lady?
Well, this is a young teenage girl who was relatively healthy, except she came down with the disease of porphyria. And it's a very debilitating problem.
Why don't you explain what porphyria is? Maybe not
well,
one knows.
I'm not very good at explaining it, but it has to do with the porphyrins in the blood and the liver not working, and they used to call it the vampire's disease. In fact, that's how they used to explain the existence or supposed existence of vampires, was these were people with porphyria who were helped by the drinking of human blood. But that be that as it may, that's not a therapy we use nowadays. But nonetheless, this girl was slated to go over to Arnold Palmer Hospital because they were not helping her. They weren't getting anywhere with her, changing anything in Holmes Regional. Yeah?
What she was going to do was they were going to go do exploratory surgery.
Right. And so as a last resort, we were doing a lot of spiritual healing, and the mother agreed to have Rick do hypnosis with her. And it was incredible. You continue now.
Basically, all I did was went in there, agreed upon it, you have to accept it and everything. And she was doing it. I said, just listen to what I say, and we'll guide you through it. And I put her into what I call the healing pool, which I plan on having some tapes coming out on that. Well, actually, CDs for that. And I put her through there, and the next day we got some very exciting news. The mother called up so excited. She's not going to Arnold Palmer Hospital. All her tests are coming back positive, fine. They want to keep her there another day or so.
Because the hurricane was a blowout.
Well, but besides, no, I think, I don't remember what the whole exact
time. Yeah,
but
it was.
But let's keep her there for a day or so, just for observation, and she was fine. And then she did have, I heard, I was gone, but there was a relapse, a very slight relapse, which didn't wind up in the hospital and all that, but she circumvented that, and I'd like to work with that young lady, and I know I could be in touch with that person and to see about what would happen with that, because that's what I'm looking at is going now. I was always into the energy healing, but tapping into that, what's healing, trying to heal the Mother Earth. We can tap into that and join. That's my next line, and that's why I'm looking at CDs, because how many people can I help on small seminars or one-on-one with people where CDs I can put out there? As I said, that's in
are
they, the
are
future.
Are some of
that's
your future plans,
yes.
Then?
And, of course, with seminars on tapes, we're talking, this is the millennium, you know, as I'm willing to go into the 21st century. I know you're going a little kicking and screaming, at least, maybe dragging your heels a little bit, but...
Well, that's me. But would you be willing? I know our time is more than up, but...
Well, next week there's supposed to be a show.
After.
Right after us, but
right
now from the radio owner, producer, director, whatever, he said, no, we have the time.
But...
So, if you want to roll with it, let's roll with it.
Well, would you be willing to address the UFO connections possibly in the future?
I'd be more than glad.
Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this man has been an abductee. I know, I'm sure he didn't want me getting into this, but... I'm going to get into it anyway because it's very pertinent. He has been an abductee several times, and he has some really, really funny stories to tell. But all of these things make up the whole person, and he seems to integrate all of these aspects into one incredible, dharmically driven human being. And I say dharmically driven because he's tried to avoid it 100 times. He's ran like running from the hounds of heaven from doing certain things. But he is dharmically driven. It's going to be done. And these are some of his future plans to make tapes concerning health issues, concerning emotional issues, concerning UFO abductions, things like this. He has a lot of plans for the future. Would you be willing to come back on the station again?
I'd be very happy to. As I said, the time is right now because of the planet being hurt in all ways, to put it lightly as an understatement. That's why Mother Earth vibration is coming up higher. I'd like to teach people ways of tapping into that.
Well,
to help themselves and help the planet.
Well, can you do...
We need many light workers.
All right. Kent, do you have an exercise for the listeners that they could do to see how their self-esteem works? You always talk about, I'm going away from the extreme, coming back down to the basic format of the show, being relationships, self-esteem, etc., and we've been on self-esteem for a while. Can you tell the listeners about what you call the Rambler?
Oh, the Rambler is a very simple thing. He's been known, or she's been known, we'll just use he just because I happen to be male. As
I use he and I'm female.
He's a little troublemaker there. It's a lot of time, basically, it's the little man of negative self-talk.
Oh, yes.
Now, you know, we're all a product of our environment. Anyone listening to this station realize that. And as you know, the first hypnotist we ever have is our mother. Then you have family and teachers, and not knocking any families or anything with that. Anything is, you know, sometimes back then we were growing up, some of these people that are in the, say, 40s on up age-wise of negative motivation and everything, and we take that in, and then we go through the world, and if anyone has been in the military, even like going to an extreme with it and all that, we take on different things, and we have, and what you do is you could think all you want, positive thinking, I am this, I am that, I am this, and a positive, and all of a sudden things come in. Well, basically, what I'd like to do is see about the voice. We all have that inner voice. Do you know what I'm talking about, Andrew?
I know very well that inner voice. Sometimes it says, oh, yeah, you're a major loser, and whoops. And other times it says, wow, depending on the circumstance or the person, it says, you're right, I am a winner, I am tops. We talked about that last week anyway.
Yeah.
Depending on
the level
that the
listeners are, and everyone's at a different level, because everyone is where they're supposed to be, as all metaphysicians say. Everyone's where they're supposed to be, except I add to things, unless you have spirit attachment, unless you have some type of negative brain waves coming out. Not that it's your own brain. Who knows where you'd be. As I always call, we could talk about the evil remote control there. You know, which is the adulteration of the earth.
Yeah,
and
well, we had talked about last week on the show, we were talking about, excuse me for a minute, CRS. I can't remember stuff worth a darn. We were talking about with self-esteem, how when we do the positive thinking and we do all the positive affirmations and it doesn't work, now you take over. You give the explanation of why it doesn't work, because there are times it won't work until...
Well, we have to crawl before we walk. We have to walk before we run. You got to run before you win a marathon. Well, Andre, why don't you just a little exercise? If anyone's doing this, please don't do this if you're driving. And I mean, I'm sure you don't have your computer with you then, but you have an iPod. Don't do this while you're driving, unless you're really proficient with your third eye.
I wouldn't even do it then.
Okay, just close your eyes and just relax and think about it. And I just want you to think about, just clear your mind and just think about hearing the voice that I'm talking about. Just hear the voice. Just listen if there is a message. So, did you hear anything?
I heard a lot of different things.
Okay.
I heard
a lot. You've been reprogrammed a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, there's different levels now. There are some people that will be, that'll hear, this is that, this is that, everything's going good. Now, you'll also get other things. What voice? Yeah, I mean, let's go with one extreme. They'll get some high-level information. Those people are in touch with their spirit guides.
Or their higher self.
Or their guardian angel. I mean, let's not get into semantics now. And then you'll have the other... What voice? Are you crazy? What kind of voice is that? That's basically it. That's what I call the rambler. A lot of people who are involved in self-talk talk about self-talk. What a big part of my concepts that I work with, which I've learned over the years, my research a lot of times does not come out of books. It comes out of myself. And then I go looking, are there any people that are familiar with that? I try to develop that rambler, because he just keeps rambling on and on and on and on in this nonsense, to
the higher self, or put you in touch now through the higher self. You can get in touch with spirit guides or guardian, whichever way you want to go, depending what we're looking at, whatever your school of thought.
Well, let me interject.
On the schoolhouse earth.
Let me interject this. Let me give an example.
Yes.
Let us say that my affirmation would be, I am a self-assured, confident, and successful person. I am. Everything is right there in the verbiage on this. What would the Rambler be saying?
Okay. Why don't we just, instead of that, let's do a little exercise. Would you like to do that? And
oh,
everyone
sure.
In the listening audience, listen the same way. Sit back, close your eyes. Assume a nice, comfortable position. Just close
not
your
when
eyes
you're driving.
Eyes. Not when you're driving, of course, or operating machinery. I hope you're not operating machinery now. And just listen to my voice and just hear what I say. And just take note. Just push any other don't push any other thoughts out of your head. Because I would say in hypnosis, push any other thoughts out of your head. That's what you have to do. That's part of the reprogramming process. I am a self-assured. I am self-assured. Repeat after me. I am silently in your mind. I am a self-assured, confident, and successful person. I am a self-assured, confident, and successful person. I am a self-assured and confident and successful person. Just keep playing those words over and over and over in your head. Let it go into your mind. Let it go into your soul. Just keep repeating. Without me, I'm going to say it one more time. I am a self-assured, confident, and successful person. Just allow your own thoughts to come through.
I can
keep silence
really,
for a moment.
Really relate
now,
to this.
The people that are truly self-assured, confident, and successful. Well, everybody open your eyes if I didn't mention it. They will accept that. Yes, I am. I am a self-assured, confident, successful person. Because I work with a lot of affirmations. After I find out the core issues, then I do that. And, of course, you know, as I go, send it out to the universe, and which we're working with. I've been working with that 20 years ago. Everything with the secret and all that, which that's just, the secret is very nice and everything, you know, doing that. But there are people that will come in and say, we really don't feel self-assured, confident, and successful.
Oh,
I'm a loser. I'm this, if you allow that. Actually, people, try that at home tonight. It's a good way for you to test yourself tonight. Do that. Or you could do this with anything. I am a beautiful, gorgeous person. I am whatever you feel you want. And you'll see, that's what I work with as touching base on is with.
In other words, you make it match. Then
yes.
The person's affirmation, you build up the actual self-esteem through self-hypnosis or through
right.
Hypnosis,
yes.
And you make it match. Like the example I gave last week about the man who wanted to be wealthy, but it didn't work for
exactly.
Him. Exactly. And so what you would do through the modality of hypnosis is go in and build up his confidence, help him change his idea of what wealth is, put him in contact with what he could do with wealth.
Yeah, you have to align what you're putting out to the universe of what you're really thinking about yourself. Because you cannot become what you despise. Like some people with manifestation of a monetary manifestation, they have to think about what do they do about if they feel, let's say, a person, yeah, that person's filthy rich.
Mm.
Who wants to be filthy? How can you do that? Simple.
Well, it's showing
in
contempt,
right,
for money or for
right.
Wealth, and money and wealth is simply energy.
Right.
So what you have a contempt for, you certainly aren't going
yeah.
To bring it into your life.
Sure.
But you as a hypnotist then would go and access this part of the person
right.
And help them to change their viewpoint. Is that
right.
Correct?
Yes. Like, say, for instance, how many people can think about, what do you call,
all the rich people are snobs.
I may have had that attitude when I was younger. A lot of people have had that. But I have met through there, and it is part of being guided into there. I've worked with, when I was a young man, and we're talking about in my early 20s, worked with people that were worth $7, $8 million, which is nothing compared to nowadays. But they were down to earth. You could speak to them as a person. You can go out and go out for a lunch with them and everything, or whatever.
And they wore dungarees
and they
worked
wore everything
with their
else,
crews,
you know. And they were able to do these things with it. So I don't have that. But a lot of people have that. You've got to break that. That's where the human potential comes in, to be the most that you can be.
I see. Well, I can relate to that very much on a personal level because of my background from childhood and things like that. For years, I had a very negative self-esteem. And that's how come I can understand my clients so well many times, because I've been where they're at. And somebody would say, why don't you do these affirmations? And I would do affirmations very similar to, I am a self-assured, confident person. And the rambler, as you call it, in my head would say, oh, the heck you say? Oh, yeah, you're real self-assured. You're nothing but a fake and a phony.
Well, I can tell you stories about me. I remember when I was much younger, in my, say, early 20s, I would sit there, like, I forgot, I was into this whole thing of a master of life thing. I am a master of life. I am a master of life. I am a master of life. And I would put myself through that. After a while, I would catch myself, and I said, I hear, like, maybe a little laughter. You're a blah, 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 blah. I don't want to even repeat it, what was said, you know.
Right.
I think we could all relate to this. You could play with this whole thing.
Yeah. I relate very well to this.
There'll be some CDs coming up on this, as seminars, and things backing it up and all that.
Well,
but it's a very interesting concept to me. That is the most interesting concept in the world. I love it. It's my dharma. I want to help as many people as possible. Actually, as a metaphysician, you have to be flexible. So
mm-hmm.
I'm at the point. I planned coming up to North Carolina. I plan on going out to all the different parts of where we are in Middle America, and going and doing seminars and doing that one. And I felt that what I need to do is put out tapes, because I'm getting myself into the new millennium.
Well, I think you can help a lot more people with your tapes than I know you've made tapes for people before, and it really has been very successful. And I know that you can help hundreds and thousands of people.
Those were customized tapes, but I feel now, I think I'm at the point now in my career that I could do generic tapes that could help just as much. And then, as a person listens to it, and if they get stuck a little bit on a certain thing, they can always give me a call, you know. I'm approachable.
Yeah, you're one of the most approachable guys I know.
Well, thank you.
I'm smiling when I say that. He's very approachable. Well, it's a little bit later than what we had planned, but we've had a very fascinating conversation with Rick. And I know he's going to come back with us, and I know I've been trying to convince him for a long, long time that he needs to do this more often. In fact, to tell you the truth, it's
this is my first time.
This is your first time, but I would say that you need to get a program of your own even in the future.
Well, we can start with working together.
Yeah.
As I said, you got a lot of food on my plate, the old expression. I've got a big buffet out there I have to do between the mundane and the metaphysical.
Well,
world.
I'll tell you, having a partner and a guest makes it a lot easier with a give and take and everything. I certainly hope that you'll consider coming back again
soon. But I'd like to leave off with the people, as a good friend of mine, Lenny, mentioned to me. You just remind me of many things. I had to keep your feet planted in Mother Earth and keep your head in the clouds. Never stop dreaming.
Very true.
And remember,
If anyone wants to contact me, email, please do, and Andra will give the email.
1 hour with Andra, spelled 1-O-N-E. 1 hour with Andra, A-N-Z-A-R-A, at gmail.com.
And please give your phone number and the best time to contact you and what time zone you're in, and we'll try to touch base.
Definitely.
I'll be glad to answer your questions and help in any way.
Well, again, I thank you very much, and I'd like to close tonight with my usual reading of the Desiderata, and those that have heard it for, this will be week 3. Well, pretty soon you're going to know it by heart, and you can say it along with me, but I always feel it makes an excellent closing to a program like this. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul, with all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams. It is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. Ladies and gentlemen, we bid you farewell.
And thank you very much for listening in and giving me the opportunity for the first time on radio.
Good night.
It's a new dimension for me.
God bless you, and we hope to see you again next week.
We'll hear you again.
Okay. Bye-bye now.